Hey, everybody. My name is Damara West, and I'm founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their liberation and joy so that they can lead and live lives on their own terms. I am so excited that you have joined us for the Women's Liberation Summit, where we are helping you to reclaim your authentic power so that you can design a life based on your deepest desires. And the guest that I have on the lineup today joined 17 other women. But let me tell you about her, because this woman has been blazing trails forever, probably since she was born. And I had the privilege of meeting her through the Black Women's Roundtable work and was really just in awe of the eclectic nature of her identity, how she stood so firmly in her power and was doing amazing work. And everything she touches gets better. And so let me tell you what you are in store for today, because she is getting ready to inspire us and give us some real deal practical insight, y'all. Latasha Brown is a nationally recognized award-winning thought leader, institution builder, cultural activist and artist, and connector. She is the visionary founder and co-anchor of a regional network called the Southern Black Girls and Women's Consortium, which is a $100 million 10-year initiative to invest in organizations that serve Black women and girls. She is also the co-founder of Black Voters Matter Fund and Black Voters Matter Capacity Building Institute. Through the words of Latasha, there is power in my voice. It is a divine gift that I use to connect to different worlds. I bridge the philanthropy world to the grassroots community, traditional politics to grassroots politics, and practitioners to the scholarship of movement building. Latasha, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, sister, for having me. I'm really happy to be here, and congratulations on once again, you know, having this wonderful, beautiful offering so that that other sisters can stand in this space of really being able to tap into our power and really as part of our healing journey, recognize that we have everything we need to heal us within.
Yes, I feel like we could probably just drop the mic and go home, but we're about to dig into some stuff first. So thank you for saying that. So let's start with liberation. You know, what does liberation mean to you?
You know, that's such an interesting question, because, you know, I didn't really realize I had been holding it a certain kind of way until a few months ago. A few months ago, the way that my entire life, my body of work has been really a part of the Black liberation struggle, as I've seen an extension of the Black liberation struggle. And quite frankly, for me, that meant we would actually work to tear down, replace, abolish, hold accountable, you know, create new systems. The old systems that are creating harm for us, all of those things that keep us from really enjoying the fullness of our power, fullness of our being, those things that prevented us from being liberated in our spirit, our mind, and our bodies, that's what I saw as part of Black liberation work. And so one morning, I'm saying that because one morning I was laying in bed and I was thinking to myself, you know, this Black liberation, like, that we're fighting for feels so elusive. When I say it, I'm like, okay, like, when are we ever going to get there? It was one of those days that was a really bad policy day in this nation. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, like, what is it going to take for us to get liberation? That's how I was thinking, you know, and as I was laying there thinking, something came to me and it was like, okay, so yeah, how long is it going to take? So your liberation is contingent upon white people's acceptance?
Come on.
Or for them changing their transformation? Is that what liberation looks like to you? And, you know, my initial reaction is like, no. But then when I thought about it, it is the way I've been holding liberation. I've been holding liberation as if it was this kind of elusive piece that I needed to fight and assert myself so that somebody else could give it to me, as if someone else had the power, right, to liberate me. And as I was laying in the bed, just as clear I could hear in my mind's eye, you know, that's a certain framework of liberation. Yeah. Or the question is, does it mean to live a Black liberated life? And I was so my entire life, I've been framing on this liberation that I thought of outside of myself, those factors outside of myself that were impacting me, or I felt were barriers or were challenging. And while there's levels of truth to that, that there are things that actually serve as barriers, but they don't, they're not the end all and the be all. They don't stop me if I don't allow them to stop me.
Yes.
Right. And so part of what in that kind of moment of clarity, I recognize that I have to define what living a Black liberated life looks for me. And for me, that means literally when I think about liberation, that means being able to live in the fullness of my being, to have the full human experience, right? I think that sometimes we think of liberation as this kind of utopia phase that we'll get to, and we'll never feel pain or hurt or all those things. But the truth of the matter is, what human being, you know, hasn't felt all of those feelings? But at the end of the day, that is part of the human experience. There are parts of my life that are sad, that the parts of my life that I felt happiness and joy and peace and stress, all of those things are in the human experience. It is being healthy enough that I can actually heal, have the human experience and not deny any part of my humanity. Liberation for me is being grounded enough that when I'm having those moments that are challenging moments to me, that I have the tools, I have the love for myself, I have the support system that I'm able to navigate, knowing that throughout, after the rain, like the rain, it don't rain always, right? I just got to make it to the other side. And so having the ability and the depth of faith to recognize that in those moments that are extremely uncomfortable for me, right, that there is enough rooting, that I'm grounded enough that I can actually take lessons from those hard, hard lessons and actually evolve. Like they help me to be a better person, to be, to dig deeper, to think higher. And so when I think about liberation now, I don't think of liberation in the way that I used to hold it before, at some place that would be just free of all problems. I think of liberation in that context of living a Black liberated life, that being able to have the full human experience and have all the tools be plugged in and tapped in such a way that I'm able to navigate and move through those tools still while growing, evolving, and living my best and my greatest life.
That was such a beautiful answer. And, you know, in general, but particularly because, you know, when I think about you and the immense work that you've done over the course of your career in a myriad of ways, and we're going to talk about, you know, those layers a little bit later, you know, it's encouraging to hear that there is no real arrival. There's only the journey. And so the fact that you had this pivotal moment, this freeing moment where Source was like, no, love, the power is really in you. And that although you are working to change systems that need to change, right? That need to change right now, I believe the same thing that you believe, that when we know that we are powerful, it becomes one of the great equalizers in life, because it allows me to ebb and flow in a way that's truly connected to who I am and who I'm working to become in co-creation with Source, Universe, God, whatever affiliation we might have. So thank you for giving us that gift, right? Because so often when we look at folks like you who are doing amazing work in the world, we don't see blemishes. We don't think that there, you know, are things that you're working towards. But the reality is that we're having a human experience, really a spiritual experience, right? In this physical body. And I love what you said.
And it's challenging. Listen, I want to say this, that at the end of the day, part of the blessing and the burden of being a leader is being able to function and to move through while I'm having a full experience. I have the full human, listen, I am still a Black woman living in America. I have the full experience in which my voice, that there are those that seek to marginalize my voice. I have the same experience where there are people who I've trusted or I've loved that have actually brought pain into my life. There have been those that have actually I've worked with that may display some form of I'm saying hate as a framework, but really hurtful, being hurtful or jealous, right? Sure. Or exhibit those feelings, or even bring those elements in my life that seem like they're barriers. The full human experience, I fall in love, I fall out of love, I get betrayed, I am scared, I am vulnerable, like everybody. And I think what I want I'm part of the reason why I'm saying this is because there is a certain kind of unrealistic idea that we have about leaders and yeah. about people in our community, that we don't give people the grace and space to show vulnerability, right? Yeah. So that literally in those moments, what I love about my girlfriends, mm-hmm. in my weakest moment, they can still see my strength. Yes. Right. That when I am in my most vulnerable, they know what I'm made out of. Mm-hmm. They just know that they just need to hold me. Sometimes they just need to carry me for a while. Yeah. Right. They just need to speak into me. That they also recognize that there's sometimes that I'm doubting myself, mm-hmm. that they just got to speak life into me. And so I say that because sometimes we think because we need that, or we're feeling insecure, or we're feeling vulnerable, that something is wrong with us. Yes. When that is actually a part of the human experience.
Oh, I think I love the goal this. Of
events like this yes. and trainings like this are to let us know, to give us tools, more tools that we can navigate through those moments. Yes. More tools so that we can work through those moments, not thinking that there's fundamentally something wrong with us, but recognize that in that moment, we figured it out. We're all just mm-hmm. having this full human nuanced experience. And so
this is so good. And particularly, you know, not just as we know, not just from a leadership standpoint, right? But as women, as Black women, we are oftentimes we feel like we have to filter ourselves, and society often works hard to filter us, right? Which oftentimes, if we allow it, it robs us from that range of human experiences that you talked about, which we all have if we allow ourselves to have it, right? And so I love what you are offering as well, because it makes me think about the emotional guidance scale and how when we have those range of 21 emotions, and they aren't those higher level ones, those moments of feeling empowered and love and gratitude and goodness and joy, that we can work to access in those lower moments, right? It's about getting back to that point That's as right. fast as possible.
That's right.
And the fact that you have people, and what a gift. And, you know, we all need people in our lives that see us, right, and can hold space for us. But until we have that, we have to know that we have to be able to hold it within ourselves. And the more that we do that, as you know, the more we attract the right people, the right things.
That's right.
And we become more and more of who we were always meant to be. So,
absolutely. You know what it reminds me of as you yeah. were talking? You know, I was thinking about, it's actually light. Mm-hmm. All it is, think yeah. about how much we can do with light. Mm-hmm. Like at mm-hmm. light can get distorted in so many ways. Yeah. Like even we can actually take light, right, and distort it into different colors. Mm-hmm. We can actually create different images. We can make shadows. We can actually just take light out and make darkness. My point is that if we really recognize that our core is light, there were always light. And then all of this experience is just a prism of experiences that we're living and we're going through, and literally being able to have our arsenal, our toolkit, that yeah. sometimes you can just kind of work through the pain. Like you just like, mm-hmm. okay, I just need to get over myself and get over my feelings. You know, yeah. there's sometimes that we feel like we just move through there, but mm-hmm. oftentimes in that process, all we're doing is not really working through those feelings. Yeah. We're burying them. But then mm-hmm. once we get these skills and these tools that we can pull it out of my bag, this is the bag that I really need to do some self-reflection yeah. that, you know, really examine, like, let me lean into this idea that I feel that I don't feel worthy. So instead of me burying it down and just find something else, let me go and buy a Louis bag, because that's gonna make me feel better about yeah. myself. Instead of doing that, like literally be able to dig down and explore, why is it that I'm feeling that way? Yeah. It literally can actually take us back to the source, which is the light that will give us even a greater revelation, yeah. right? So the next time that situation comes along, you're at a higher level, right? And possibly mm-hmm. the next time. So the point is that each level that we need to understand that we're in an abundant universe yeah. and that we have so much tap energy. I remember years ago, there was a mm-hmm. trainer that we brought to one of the youth camps that I ran, and he talked about that we're only using 10% of our brain power. Like, think about that. Like 10%, 90%, we're not even tapping in. Yeah. And think about how amazing human beings are, mm-hmm. right? Like if we're only using 10%,
yes,
think about how much more, what is available to us. Mm-hmm. And so I'm raising that, that even spiritually, we talk about just the mind, right? Yeah. But when we're talking about the spirit, like there's so much that is available to us. And so I think that if we hold these moments that are difficult, like hold those moments as a part of the prism, it just depends on, you just seeing the light refracted a certain kind of way. Like yeah. what is going to get me back to the source, which is the light? What is going Absolutely. To get me back to my full light of who I am and really be able to develop the tools to work through? Because I'll be honest, part of my greatest development didn't happen when I was like on top, you know, because on yeah. some level you get on top and you get mm-hmm. comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. But some of my greatest development, personal development, came in those moments that were difficult, that were painful, that quite frankly, I was questioning, is something wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Am I not good enough? Am yeah. I not worthy? All of those things. And they forced me to look at some aspects of myself that I wouldn't look at any other way. I was just really trying to move away from the pain. Mm-hmm. But they gave me the opportunity to break open some things in me, for me to realize that I had access to some mm-hmm. other parts of myself that I never let fully develop and evolve. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm even seeing my life as almost like an exploration that mm-hmm. literally is kind of unfolding itself for me, mm-hmm. that I am learning who I am. Yeah. That I, as I know who I am going through a process to remember, like yes. to remember who I am mm-hmm. and to tap into that light. And so I just hope that sisters really recognize that having the full human experience, right, that we literally, the light, like we have to really see it, that it is a light in me. Yes. And that all those other kind of circumstances, they're just different mirrors and reflections and all kinds of things. The goal is to always get back to the light.
That is such a beautiful metaphor that you gave us, the prism, the light. And I know that, of course, we talk about light and dark in a lot of different ways, but the way that you have gifted us with the beauty of your words helps us to see it. And I love this permission that you're giving us, right, to hone in on these emotions as an opportunity to evolve. And that evolution is forever. It never, ever stops.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the fact that everything that you touch is about liberating the lives of some of the most vulnerable. So what's your drive behind the work that you do, and what liberatory work have you done to get here? And you offered some of that already. So whatever else you want to share in that regard.
You know, it is, I often go back to my childhood and I tell the story a lot. You know, when I was a kid, there were like two things about myself. There were one thing, I always was fascinated, wanted to know who was in charge. I don't know where I got that from, but I always wanted to know who was in charge. So it's a running joke in my family that my grandmother, we would be in Kmart and we'd go in Kmart and I called her mama. I was like, mama, who owned Kmart? And she was like, baby, I don't know. We go to the church. I was like, mama, who owned the church? She's like, baby, I don't know. Jesus, I don't know. Like, we could be at the park. And I'm like, who owned it? Who owned the park? Mm-hmm. Right. And so, as over the years, I literally would go in the spaces. And it's funny because it's become a skill of mine now. Mm-hmm. I would go in the spaces and I would scan the room and I wanted to know who the owner was or who was in charge. Yeah. And so even now when I go in the room, I can literally go in a room and I can tell you who is really in charge. I don't care who got the title. I can tell you really who is really in charge, right? Mm-hmm. And so part of that I realized is, you know, I had this acute sensitivity around wanting to know power, mm-hmm. around wanting to recognize where power, who had power. And the second part of that is I was always a kid that would jump in the fight with a bully, yeah. right? It didn't matter how big the bully is. You know, as I think about it now, I was a courageous little girl because I was like, what the hell was I thinking? Right. I was like, right now I would be like, baby, you can't fight them boys. What you doing? Right.
Right. You
know, but the bottom line, I don't know whether it was foolishness or whatever, but I guess they were like,
it was your calling. It was your calling.
It was just my calling, right?
Yes.
I would literally, there was something about seeing people abuse their power towards others. That was just, it was intolerable to me. I couldn't stand it. I never understood how people could see others suffer. Yeah. and not help. Like, that didn't make any sense to me. And so, you know, it's interesting. For a number of years, I think I carried it as a judgment of other people, because I'm like, what's wrong with you? Right. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that part of those things were showing themselves up in my life because it is part of my calling. Mm-hmm. It's part of who I am. And so over the years, you know, the movement, like being a part of the movement, being a part of social justice, that was the avenue that seemed like the way that allowed me to kind of express my gifts and my skills and my calling, like fulfill my calling. Mm-hmm. And so all the things that I'm involved in, ultimately, it's really not about, I know people think of me around politics and power. Yeah. But fundamentally, every single thing that I am involved in is related to, I want people to feel the power of love.
Yes.
That's it. That's just really that simple. Love is such a good feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a love bug. I just love love. I love love.
Right? I'm having a deja vu moment because I literally just said that to someone else a week ago, right?
Love.
Yes. I mean, what's better than love? It is what's the highest vibrational emotion that we can experience, right? Literally, what is better than love?
What is better than love? Like, when you love some music, baby, that's the best. When you love some food, that's your joint, right?
Come on.
When you love that man or that woman, baby, that's some, listen, that make your heart sing. You just, they say their name and you just start smiling. You're like, mm-hmm. When you love yourself, that's when you be like, girl, I got it going on. I'm feeling good today, right?
That's
and
right.
You're pulling that out of even love for self. My girlfriends, when I tell you I love my friends, other folks might have some best friends, but I swear I got the best friends in the world, right? But the bottom line, I'm raising that because there is something so powerful about love, doing the work that you love, like being in a space of love at all times, like thinking about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so part of my work is really, it's part of this mission of mine of, I want everybody in the world to get a taste of love. Mm-hmm. I want them to feel love. I want them to submerge themselves in love. I want them to really understand the transformative power of love. Yeah. And so the way that I kind of express my work is always in this way that I want to connect people to feel in love. I feel like when you feed people, right, that's a part of love. When you are literally helping and speaking life into people, that is a part of love. When you are correcting people, when you are bringing around correction and holding folks accountable, that is an experience of love. When you are sharing your truth, being responsible, but like literally sharing your truth, that is an expression of love. And I'm when we care for each other, when we make space and room for each other, when we listen to one another, that's an expression of love. Yes. And so I believe that's part of the kind of the full human experience that we've kind of like put in this like one category, which is easy to feel like romantic love. And that's some good stuff. Right? That's some good stuff, right?
No, it's great. There are so many layers
that I think that we don't really tap into and pull from the power of that in ways that I think could actually change not only our lives, but change the world.
Come on now. You know, this is really how you have described your purpose and being rooted in love and how everything that you've done has been connected to that is, it speaks to the unique experience that every person is having, right? And so you ask 18 different women what liberation means to them, and it means something totally different, but it's all interconnected. And, you know, the fact that you have described your mission with love, it's no surprise that you epitomize what it means to be every woman, right? No pun intended. But in other words, what it means to live into the fullness of your gifts as a woman, from being a philanthropist, a vocalist, an activist, a women's empowerment champion, a Harvard fellow, and I could go on, as you know, sis. So what advice do you have for women who are afraid to illuminate the myriad of natural gifts that they were born with? And how can they discover their gifts if they haven't already tapped in?
Oh my goodness, that's a great question. Well, the first thing I'll say is, you know, there was a Reverend Lois Dejean in New Orleans, Louisiana. We had gone on a trip to Southeastern Asia. We had gone on several countries that had been impacted by the tsunami. And everywhere we went, I had gone through this phase that I'd stopped singing. I was, quite frankly, I was upset with America after Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I ain't entertaining nobody no more. I'm done. I'm doing only the serious work. Mm-hmm. And like cutting your nose off and spite your face, right? Yeah. And so I would sing. And so we'd gone on this trip to Southeastern Asia. We were in Indonesia, we were in Thailand, we were in Malaysia. And everywhere we would go, people would ask me to sing. Mm-hmm. And I was so annoyed. I wouldn't sing. Like, I was so annoyed. I was like, what they think? All Black people can sing? And I remember being on one of the buses we were traveling, and one of the people turned around and was like, obviously not, because most of us are Black. They ain't asking us that. I was like, well, yeah, I didn't think about that point. You know, and then as I was like really grappling with this, Reverend Dejean looked at me and she said, baby, you don't know, your gift will make room for you. And I was like, and I'd heard that before, but I got it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it was like, she was like, your gift is there. Now you can choose to use it or not to use it, but that's your gift. Mm-hmm. What does your gift give you access to? And so my question to sisters who are afraid to use their gift is a couple of things. The first piece around it is this question around, what does your gift give you access to? Mm-hmm. Right? Because part of the fear, what is the fear? The fear is rooted in rejection, all of those things. You could go on and on and on. I'm not saying that not to explore what you're afraid of, because I think that's part of the enlightenment process itself. But for me, I would choose to focus on the question of what using my gift gives me access to. Yeah.
That's where the possibility lies.
Because some of those things that we think that we're fearful of are just made up stories in our head. Mm-hmm. They're just made up stories in our head, right? You know, or they're part of something deeper, whether it's the fear of rejection, the fear I'm not good enough, the fear of exception. That's why my question for those sisters, the question I would like for them to make the inquiry around is, what does your gift give you access to, right? Because I think when I think about liberation, if I just literally boil it all the way down, you can take all those phrases that I said earlier, all liberation is for me is being unencumbered, connected to my source. That's it. Connected to the source. That's liberation. Everything else is whatever. Being connected to the source, just unconnected, just unencumbered. I'm just like, listen, I'm just connected to the source, right? Yes. That's real liberation. And so really when you're thinking about like those sisters, like it is a process. I'll say a couple of things. The first part of literally the transformation process is to be able to acknowledge that you are fearful, right? That is, fear reminds you you're human. It doesn't say, we think of fear. Fear is the thing that makes you think something is wrong. You know, yes, but it doesn't mean that that you are wrong. It doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. It is literally peaking. I think it's an opportunity for us to look somewhere, like to look some, let me look at this. Let me go a little bit deeper and explore this. Yeah. And so I would just offer that we take some time. There are four things that I would tell sisters to do. Number one, start with the question. What does your gifts give you access to? The second thing is like really recognizing at the end of the day, what are your gifts? Or do you know your gifts? Yes. Right? Like really, do you know your gifts? And I don't think there has to be some perfection around it. Well, I don't know if this is a gift or not or whatever. If we're really, really sitting in that question and kind of exploring that question, our gifts will unfold and unfold themselves to us if we allow them to. I think the third thing is really making a commitment that we're going to nurture. We're going to change our focal point. We're going to change our focal point to out there and how people receive this gift. The gift is for you.
Come on.
I need people to hear what I'm saying. A gift, your gift is for you first. That's your gift. And it is in the abundance and the overflow of your gifting. And when you are connected to the source that is abundant and infinite, right? There is no limitation to your gift. Your gift is the space where you actually connect to your abundance and your overflow. And so really being able to tap into your gift, which is a gifting to you, and to embrace that and to sit in it and to lean in it, that at the end of the day, some of those things that you used to care about, you won't care about anymore. Like it's kind of like, I use an example of this of, you know, it's really interesting. They would talk about Michael Jackson was right before he would go on stage that mm-hmm. he would be so nervous. Mm-hmm. He would be like nervous, and like the moment the lights cut on, mm-hmm. he was in his gift. It didn't even matter. If like, how can you be afraid or nervous to talk to three people, but mm-hmm. you're going to go out there and show out in front of millions?
Yeah,
because he was operating in his gift. Mm-hmm. And I can go on and on and on about folks who literally, when they just surrender and allow the gift to operate, what mm-hmm. happens? It beyond their wildest dreams, like yeah. what happens? And so I just want to offer the sisters that process of really being able to assess like your gifts, really get in touch and really know what your gifts are, to like really having this space around clarity around it, this question around what does your gift give you access to? Yeah. Three, having the discipline to nurture and mm-hmm. to invest in that gift. Mm-hmm. And four, baby, show up. Yeah. Show up and use the gift. Be a conduit for that gift. Mm-hmm. Surrender. Just show up and surrender to that gift. In that process, there'll be bumps all along the way, but that's the advice that I would give.
That 4-step process was just, you laid it out so succinctly, so much power behind it. There's a couple things I want to say before we get into our final question. Cannot believe that our interview is almost over. I could talk to you all day long, but we know that's not possible because you got shit to do, and so do I. The first thing that I think is so important that I want to just drill down that you said is that at one point you were so mired down by the reality of the movement, right? By the restriction of the movement, that you said you no longer wanted to operate in your gift. And many of us have stopped operating our gifts because the world has been hard. And so I love what you said about when we're connected to source, right? We are connected to self. And that gift that you said that is for us, that is, as you said, that's the linkage to the abundance. That's the linkage to connecting your light to other people. But it does start with you and your cultivation. And so thank you for sharing that, because I know that so many women listening are going to be able to really connect with this idea that they have given up some things that they've got to return back to, because it's really connected to their purpose and their light.
Because what we've done is in this culture, in a capitalist culture, we've put skills over gifts.
Come on.
Right. That we have, many of us have given up our gifts to fit in the box of the skill. Cause there's some folks don't understand what our gifting is.
Come on.
And so some people you can't tell, or you can't share your gift with, or in your job or your employment, they just want the skills, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like robotic like, right? And then oftentimes what's fueling the skills is the gifting. And we, every once in a while, when we like in a crunch, we're like, all right, I'm gonna let this gift peek out right now. Cause I'm under pressure right now. I got to do this right now. Yeah. I got to make this magic trick happen right now. So I'm going to go on and just go with my intuition. I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to go with my gift. Okay. This is what I see. This is what they saying. And I should go here, but this is what I see, and take the chance and go there. My point is, there is an unlimited supply, source supply,
yes,
in our gifting. And so there is a purpose in terms of skills. Yeah. There is a purpose in terms of learning new technical trades and those mm-hmm. things. It is, but that gift,
yeah.
Like at the end of the day, why is it that we listen to Stevie Wonder, right? What is it about Stevie music that make us like, God, dog, Stevie, he ain't the first person can sing.
Yeah.
Right. It is many other people that can sing, mm-hmm. right? That can write music. But why is it Stevie? Because Stevie is unapologetically operating in his gift, and we can see it. When we see the songs, we like, oh, wait a minute. It's something about this. Like, I'm trying to do this right here. And so I'll just say that I'm raising that in this very cerebral society. Mm-hmm. It doesn't facilitate, other than outside of kind of the religions, right? Yeah. And even some religions, the way that they see gifting is very restricted on how you're supposed to use it, right? Mm-hmm. And to each his own, you know, yeah. I'll just say that there is something about the restriction of the gift and the gifting that is really what we're feeling weighed down by.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's really what makes us feel like we're not without purpose. Because we try to do something else that's not even who we are.
Sis, we're going to have to quote that. That was rich. I mean, there are so many things that are rich in this interview, but that was so good. You are just given so much life as usual. So as we get ready to wrap up, as a result of your movement building work, which I know you never set out to do, what you set out to do was to light the world on fire with love, right? Mm-hmm. But you've been standing in your authentic power and your purpose. That has opened the door for major media outlets like NPR, USA Today, CNN, so many others. And you were also named 2021's Glamour Magazine's Top 10 Women of the Year. So what advice do you have for women to discover their authentic power as key to unlocking their full potential? And I know you gave us that four-prong approach, which is probably connected to that. But I'm just talking more so, I guess, an elaboration maybe of the things in which you've offered us already in terms of our gifting being connected to an unlimited supply.
Let me say, the sisters that are watching this today, they're already halfway there. Sisters, if you are watching this today, you're already following it. Like you're coming in this space to talk about healing, to hear others talk about healing and journey. That is, I literally believe that's 90% of the journey. Yes. Like to be on the journey, 90% of the process is to be on the journey. Mm-hmm. You on the journey. Like, hey, you can't even turn around. You are on the journey now. Mm-hmm. And so things are unfolding themselves to you. Even when it seems like, well, I'm trying to do this and this ain't going right. That is part of the journey. That is part of literally this whole process. And so I would tell sisters, just keep showing up. Mm-hmm. It's really that simple. Yeah. Just keep showing up. Yeah. Just keep showing up. This little light of mine, mm-hmm. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All I need the sisters to do is to show up. Just show up for you and everything else will unfold itself.
I love that. So as we get ready to wrap up, I know that you are just putting in all kind of work, right? And you got to be taking care of yourself in the process, sister. So what are you doing? Just some basic things that you're doing to care for yourself as you go deeper and deeper in your liberation journey and keep it at the forefront of your life. And then connected with that, just some final words of inspiration as we get ready to wrap up.
So I think part of the piece is, I do think it's about taking care of yourself. I could actually, you know, this has been, I've been telling folks, I was like, I've been super busy this month. This is Black People's Month. So it's been a lot. Like last month. I'm like, it's a Black People's Month.
And I know we working to black it up every day, but this black month every in day, but
I'm like, yeah, people want to hear what we got to say this month.
I know that's right.
So part of it, and I recognize that part of my, when I've tried to make this strategy fit that this other kind of rules that other people use, it don't work for me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what has really worked for me work well for me is to like really go. And it's interesting because someone was sharing with me around Tyler Perry. They were saying that he was on an interview and he said, you know, 3 months, like he is on the grind. And then after those 3 months, he take a month and he's just like done. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back. And so he has his own rhythm. He finds his rhythm. Yeah. And so in some ways I have to find my rhythm. So there are times like, what do? I go to Jamaica, right? Mm-hmm. What do?
I've seen some of those Jamaica pics. Living your best life.
Living my best life. I get me some fun. I go around some Black folk. I drink me a little wine. You know, some of those things. You know, mm-hmm. I am music and the arts. Mm-hmm. Are very healing for me too. Yeah, and so from singing to writing to reading, but really being able to listen to music is really, really, really healing for me, right? Mm-hmm. And then some things that some folks just might find, and they might even think it's corny. Sometimes I really have to just talk to myself. I really have to speak affirmations to myself. Mm-hmm. I have to, there's something about it, maybe because I'm a Scorpio. There's something about me and water. And so anytime I'm feeling really, really weighed down, I have to go. And I have to go get in water. Yeah. Matter of fact, almost all of the organizations that I founded, mm-hmm. I literally had revelation about them in the shower. Wow. So there, I have this particular kind of the element that works for me is water. Yeah. Water mm-hmm. gives me clarity and it grounds me and it washes things away. And mm-hmm. so for me, I have this kind of symbiotic relationship around going around water or mm-hmm. being submerged in water that is actually very helpful for me as well.
Yeah. Such beautiful awareness that you have about ways that you can connect, right, with yourself. And again, we have all these different ways that we approach wellness that works for us.
Right.
So
I just,
yeah. Oh my gosh. We can't forget that. Cause I know that is your foundation. I'm Absolutely. Sure that is your foundation just from the time that I've spent with you. So sis, I just appreciate you so much. Thank you again. I want to make sure that people can stay in touch with you and the great work that you're doing. So how can they go about doing that?
So you all can follow me on all the social media platforms, Miss MSLATOSHA Brown, Miss Latosha Brown on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of those. But also check my website out, Miss Latosha Brown, MSLATOSHA, MissLatoshaBrown.com. And you can check out some of my work on BlackVotersMatterFund.org and the Southern Black Girls. Check out Southern Black Girls. We are doing some amazing things in that network. But all of those things you can find on my website, but please y'all hit me up.
Yes. Make sure that you follow this amazing woman, the work that she's doing. I know these words have inspired you. So make sure that you check out the other 18 videos too in the process so that you can reclaim your authentic power and live a life that is truly rooted in your deepest desires. You heard it all here at the Women's Liberation Summit. Until next time, beauties. Ashe.
Ashe.